there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Sears.
And Jeff, it's Thanksgiving time.
It is.
It's time to, argue with relatives.
Eat even more than usual.
Yeah, eat more, fall asleep watching the TV. Wake up in a completely different football game's on.
Yeah.
Be cold, then go Black Friday shopping.
Yeah, that all sounds great.
Yeah, that's what people do, right?
Yeah, and apparently go see Wicked and Moana too, because that's what your wife wants to do.
I mean, we are going to go see Moana too, but I was like, I don't know about Wicked, but.
Well, it was going to be three movies, but I already got mine at the Secret Movie Series at Cinemark.
Oh, so. Nice.
Well, we have a film we need to discuss seeing as well, Jay.
I know. Oh, yeah. We need to figure out Red One, maybe do a little mid-December stocking stuff. We're talking about Red One.
I think that would be good.
So we'll get that straightened out here at some point. But in the meantime, let's talk about the movie we watched this week. A little
Hobo with a Shotgun.
2023's Thanksgiving.
Ooh, well, this is embarrassing.
I mean, is Hobo with a Shotgun a Thanksgiving movie?
No.
Oh,
but it was one of the Grindhouse trailers.
Oh, was it really? Okay. Movie, yes. I remembered Machete, Don't, and Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I didn't remember Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yes, it was one, and now it has been made into a movie as well. So that's, I believe, three of the Grindhouse fake trailers that are movies.
Yeah, the only one that doesn't exist is Don't, which I would love. I remember loving the trailer for Don't as well.
Yeah,
we can talk about that in a minute. We can talk about Grindhouse. released November 17th, 2023.
Right on target.
Yep.
That's where you want to be.
Perfect. Written and directed by Eli Roth, Hostel, Cabin Fever, Green Inferno, but most importantly, directing Thanksgiving 2, which is supposed to come out in 2025.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think his best movie.
Agreed. We'll get to that later, but yes, I completely agree. Screenplay and story by Jeff Rendell, who is also the writer on Thanksgiving 2.
Excellent.
Patrick Dempsey as Sheriff Eric Newlon. Some people know him as McDreamy on Grey's Anatomy, and some people know him as Mark Kincaid in Scream 3. Who's to say who's right?
Scream 3.
Gina Gershon is Amanda Collins. I just more wanted to point out, man, we got, this might be the movie with the most big-named actors, or like actors that like consistently get work, like kind of across the board.
Yes, this is one of those movies where when you see it for the first time, you're going to recognize a lot of familiar faces.
Like, even if you don't know the names, you'll like be like, yeah. Oh, I know that guy from somewhere.
I know that lady.
Speaking of knowing that lady, Lynn Griffin, Claire in Black Christmas 1974 plays Grandma, and we'll see her again in It's Me, Billy, the Black Christmas fan film. Nell Verlick plays our final girl, Jessica Wright, and she will be in Thanksgiving too, of course. Rick Hoffman plays her dad, Thomas Wright. Chris Sandiford plays security guard Doug, but people would probably know him best as Derek from What We Do in the Shadows. Addison Rae plays Gabby. We'll see her again in Thanksgiving 2. Gabrielle Davenport plays Scuba, who we will see again in Thanksgiving 2. Milo Mannheim plays Ryan, who will be in Thanksgiving 2. Alexander Elliott, who plays Kid at the Party, is Bert in Violent Night.
And he's probably showing up in Thanksgiving 2.
He might. We don't know. That estimated budget, $15 million. Worldwide gross, $46,553,280. I'd say it made its money back. Yeah,
not bad. Not like a huge hit, but it was a solid hit. And I'm sure it made a lot more money than that for streaming services.
Oh, absolutely. Did I mention... Sorry, right off the bat, but didn't we get to mention it? We weren't decking the halls. We're trimming the turkey.
Oh, are we? I would have went with stuffing the turkey.
Personally. Oh, that was a good one, too. But yeah, where to watch? Netflix. You can rent it at all the rental places.
But I mean, Prime. Honestly, just buy it.
Yep. Either just buy, like, you could buy a physical copy off, like, Amazon, or I found mine at Walmart, or you could just buy, like, a... You could buy you could buy the copy on Amazon, like just the digital copy.
Yeah. Or if you buy the 4K Blu-ray, it comes with the digital code you can redeem. So you can also go that option because I like to have both.
Personal experience, Jeff?
We found out this was coming out and we're like, well, now we have to go see it. And it was coming out 2 weeks after It's a Wonderful Knife. And we were like, well, that's going to line up perfectly.
And so we went and saw both of them.
And then that inspired the first stocking stuff.
Yep, just a chance to talk about fun movies. And
we were like, we don't want to wait an entire year when this comes out and we can actually review it. So let's just do a surface level discussion of it.
And I guess thoughts on Grindhouse, since this is kind of Grindhouse.
I like it. I wouldn't say it's not like amazing. I don't. Some people seem to like really, really love it. But I thought it was okay when it came out. Of course, I was like in 10th grade at that time, so it was kind of catering to stuff I was interested in then. As time has gone on, I'd say it's okay, but it's not something I really revisit all that often.
I thought it was like a really fun idea. I loved all the fake trailers. Like, you know, that was I think my favorite part of both movies. I have more fond memories of like Machete and Don't and Thanksgiving, and I don't, like I said, I don't remember Hobo with a Shotgun, but sure, Hobo with a Shotgun. Then I do have memories of Planet Terror or Death Proof.
Yeah,
not saying either of those were bad. Just I enjoyed those trailers so much more.
Yeah, and I guess it definitely deserves a mention just because of the movies that it has spawned. Because like this movie, it seems like it's going to turn into a franchise of at least two movies. I'm thinking we're probably going to get at least three.
It would not surprise
me. Assuming performance stays up. And I mean, the Machete movies, Jay, we're on what? Is there four of those? The fourth one?
Are there? I had no idea.
I'd say there's the first one, then there's Kills, and then I think we were either on three or four. I don't remember, but I know this next one's going to be set in space.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know there were any beyond the first one, so that's wild. But no, I just remember kind of like I went to see it at the Nova with a couple friends, and I was like that was a blast. But yeah, as time has gone on, like I don't really think about the stuff in Death Proof. I don't think much about any of the stuff from Planet Terror. But I would just constantly find myself like sitting around like talking with friends about the trailers, just the fake trailers in the movie, and this or Don't were probably my favorite.
Yeah. I would say out of all the ones, this one stood out in my memory the most, I think, over the years. I'm like, that would be really cool to have a Thanksgiving slasher movie.
And it was just, I mean, the trailer was so funny. You get a lot of the same stuff. It hits a lot of the same notes, but in some different ways and stuff like that. I remember there's like a couple points where it deviates, but it's kind of hitting the same points, which I think is great. It was such a neat idea, and I mean, people were laughing in the theater when the Thanksgiving trailer played, because like, you know, it's what we're, you know, it's Halloween, but it's Thanksgiving. Like everyone just had a blast with that at the theater I was in. Anything else? Or are you ready to dive in?
I think it's time we dive in.
All right. So we're our synopsis. We start with a POV of a person approaching a house. And in like at the bottom, we're told that this is Plymouth, Massachusetts on Thanksgiving. And the POV shot approaching the front door, very similar to Halloween, because Eli Roth is a big horror movie nerd and is paying homage to all of to a bunch of great horror movies.
Indeed.
Sheriff Newland arrives at Amanda and Mitch's house for Thanksgiving. And it is intercut with scenes of the Wright family also enjoying Thanksgiving dinner. Mitch is the like manager of the Wright Mart, which is what the Wright family, the big box store that the Wright family owns.
Yes.
And so he's kind of like, well, I was able to carve the turkey, but I got to go, guys. Like, I got to I gotta go open, get ready to open the store. I have to work tonight.
Busiest night of the year, yep.
Even though everyone else, you know, has to, you know, in the meantime, the Wright family is you know, not going to the store because they're all, you know, they're the people that own it. They don't have to do shit. Like it's the, yeah. You know, it's the losers like you and me that wound up having to work holidays, Jeff.
Sucks, doesn't it? Maybe we should just get rich, Jay. That could solve all our problems.
Oh, it's so easy. we get a scene of a massive crowd outside the Wright Mart as Jessica, Bobby, Scuba, Yulia, Evan, and Gabby all sneak in because Jessica's dad owns the store. So Evan can get a new phone because, and I quote, "How am I going to text during the movie when my phone's broken?"
And at that point, I hoped he would die.
And we get our wish.
Yes.
Evan taunts the crowd. They run into some kids from a rival high school, and Evan kind of taunts them and taunts the crowd that they're in the store while the other people are outside, which kind of causes some commotion, causes kind of a crush on the barricades.
Which, if you've ever been at a Black Friday event, you know how easy it is to set people off.
Oh, yeah, and you get those, you know, yeah, why are they in the store and I'm not? Yes, and, you know, and sometimes it can literally be, they work here. Like, yes. That's why they're being let in the store.
People get really nasty really quick, especially when there's something that they want on the line. Like, I remember when the Nintendo Wii first came out, I stood in line for it because my mom didn't feel like it. So she's like, if you want one of these for Christmas, you're going to have to stand in line and get it. And so I'm out there freezing with a bunch of other people waiting for Target to open. They open, and this guy goes running down the aisle, and everybody, like, breaks into a panic, and they're like, "You can't do that! No, you have to walk with everybody else! You're not getting a Wii!" And he turns around, and he's like, "I'm here for a PS4. Or 3, I don't remember. But yeah, he wasn't there for the Wii. But everybody was getting ready to start a riot because they thought he was going to get a Wii before them.
Well, and people even, I mean, you know, it's not even Thanksgiving. People get like that for, you know, I work at Spirit Halloween. Literally, they will be letting me in the store so I can help get stuff set up. We don't like open for another 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there will literally be people outside being like, "Why can't I get in? Because he works here." Like, calm the fuck down. We will open when we open.
Nope. Open now.
Yep. Evan taunts the crowd, causing a crush. It causes Manny, one of the two security guards, to run away. He basically like, "I don't get paid enough for this. Fuck this." And he runs off. And then Doug, the other security guard, is kind of like there. He's trying to get the door open, but while he's trying to unlock the door, there's so many people that they crush the door on top of him and people start trampling him to get inside. Because of the glass, like the loose glass on the edges of these automatic doors or these glass doors, a dude gets like his throat slit. Yep. And goes to like continue buying his item as he bleeds out in the store. Yep. And then someone runs up and rips it out of his cold, dead hands.
Good example of shock in action as he just continues on doing what he was doing. And, of course, human depravity as no one stops to help him.
Bobby and Jessica notice that, like, Doug's getting trampled and is still alive at this point. So they try to make a move over to get him. But while Bobby's trying to do this, he kind of gets knocked down and somebody steps on his arm, breaking it, which he's like he's a collegiate pitcher like USC.
He was relying on his arm basically to further his career and go to college. And now that's obviously off.
Yeah. And then, what's her name? Shoot. Mitch's wife. Amanda.
Yeah, let's say Amanda.
I was going to say Abby, and I'm like, no, I think that's wrong. Amanda gets, like, pushed down, and as she's trying to kind of, like, get to safety, this lady rams her in the head with a shopping cart, basically, like, cracking her skull. And then Amanda's hair gets, like, tied up in the wheels of the shopping cart. Mm-hmm. And
it's nasty.
And as the lady pulls away, she basically, like, scalps her right there in the middle of the store as blood just starts seeping out onto the floor.
Oof.
Mitch runs up, sees his wife dead, like, starts to freak out. And that's when Sheriff Newland arrives, sees this, and then fires his gun into the air to get people to calm down. Title card, Thanksgiving.
Dun, dun, dun.
1 year later. I always love that.
Yeah.
We see a YouTube clip from Evan's channel of the Wright Mart riot. It ends with R.I.P. to the victims. And then it goes, like and subscribe, which I just think is really funny.
It was.
Someone closes a laptop and we see like some newspaper articles taped to a wall about how justice was not served and the deaths were deemed an accident.
Yeah.
We get a news clip of people protesting the Right Mart, including Mitch, who basically is like, oh, suddenly all the security footage was deleted. You know, the cameras were working when I came in that night, but all of a sudden they malfunctioned.
What?
And, you know, we weren't even supposed to be open that day and there was not enough security. And
are you questioning the integrity of big business, Jay?
Right. Hard to believe.
There's not a more honest group of people on earth. The only one I could think of might be lawyers.
Sheriff Newland arrives at the diner and meets up with his new deputy. The deputy is given a John Carver mask because, according to the sheriff, everyone's going to be wearing them.
Oh, yes, everyone.
Jessica and Gabby talk about getting tagged in a video of the tragedy as they walk through Plymouth Park to the remodeled John Carver house that has apparently been ransacked and John Carver's famous axe has gone missing.
Ooh, I bet that won't come back to bite anyone.
No, these are just random things that are happening.
I don't know why they're wasting so much time on all these random events, Jay.
We learn from Ryan that he is now dating Jessica and that Bobby kind of vanished after the accident. Later back at the diner, Jessica sees Bobby and then the whole group gets tagged on an Instagram post that says the table has been set. And while they talk, Jessica sees a guy standing watching them wearing a John Carver mask. She then kind of gets distracted by something, and when she looks back out the window a second time, he is gone.
Dun dun dun.
Straight out of Halloween. Once again, Eli Roth's a big horror movie nerd.
You know what other movie? Well, I guess we haven't got to it quite yet. I'll wait.
Later that night, as the diner is closing, the waitress who we kind of saw earlier was one of the rioters, and I believe she's the one that kind of killed Amanda.
Yes, I believe she was indirectly the cause, yes.
Like, she was the one pushing the shopping cart.
Yeah.
She gets stalked and attacked by a guy in a John Carver mask. We get this great scene where, like, she's kind of closing up the shop and, like, walks around to the front and picks up, like, a John Carver mask that is sitting on, like, the diner countertop. Mm-hmm. And as she's kind of looking at it, we see a person in a John Carver mask, like, walk and, like, look at her through a window, and then kind of walk back.
This entire sequence really reminded me of the diner kill scene in Brightburn. It was giving me Brightburn flashbacks.
I didn't even think about that one, but yeah. She gets jumped by John Carver just as she's about to leave, and he grabs her head, dunks her in, like, the sink water.
Oof.
And then pulls her out and opens the door to, like, the deep freeze and basically shoves her head to it, kind of freezing her skin in place. And as she's trying to kind of peel her face and hands away, he goes to attack her with the axe. She's just barely able to escape and makes it into, like, what I would assume is, like, the manager's office.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is able to lock the door. And on the security feed, she sees John Carver leave. She's trying to call on her phone, but because her face and her hands are all bloody, she can't really get the phone to work.
Yep.
So she starts, like, she sees him leave, starts searching in her purse for the keys to her car so she can escape. She gets out to the parking lot, and she's still looking. She's like, where the hell are my keys? As her car turns on, and John Carver is in the car. And he starts, like, driving towards her as she runs to a dumpster and decides to climb in it.
Yeah.
And as she's climbing in it, the car slams into the dumpster, cutting her in half.
Oof.
Great kill.
And I saw a lot of people online saying, that's so stupid. Her phone wouldn't work, really. These movies are so cliche. I'm like, have you ever gotten your phone wet and tried to do something with it?
No, literally, that was my exact thought. I'm like, this is the most realistic thing. Like, it's not, you know, the dumb thing where, like, oh, my, no signal.
Uh-huh.
No, like, that's less and less common as time goes by. But you know what happens all the time? Oh, you get a drop of water on your phone, and suddenly it starts typing a bunch of L's for some reason.
Yeah, and you can't press anywhere. Yeah, touchscreens are amazing.
We then see her the lower half of her body on top of the Right Mart sign as the police show up and try to take it down before anybody can notice. The group gets tagged in another post with I think, the image of the body on top of the Right Mart sign. And then McCarty, whose dad owns like the military surplus store, tries to sell them protection, but also talks about his annual Thanksgiving party, the McCarty Party.
Yeah.
I bet
we should go to that.
They all get brought in for questioning by the sheriff, and Jessica is, as Jessica is leaving, she runs into Bobby, and they kind of have a clear the air chat, and Jessica admits that her stepmom, Kathleen, deleted the footage, and her dad has the backup saved in his office, but it'll only be there for a couple more days because it only lasts for a year. And the reason he didn't come forward is because of all the lawsuits.
You don't say.
Manny, the security guard, is trying to flee the country till the heat dies down, but he finds a John Carver mask in his apartment or in his house.
Ruh-roh.
And he's kind of like looking around. He's talking to his cat. He's like, "What did you see him, boy? Did you see where he went?" And as he's like walking around, John Carver's hand reaches out from underneath the table with an electric knife, stabbing him in the gut.
Oof.
And like, you know, carving into his gut, and as he kind of walks away, he then pulls out like a piece of wire and garrots him and decapitates the body.
Excellent.
But before John Carver leaves, he does feed Manny's cat. So yes. Good guy, John Carver.
Exactly.
At the Thanksgiving dinner, John Carver puts Manny's head on a plate next to the top half of Lizzie, the waitress's body, and sends a picture on Instagram tagging Jessica and the others.
I believe the only time I've ever seen a carving knife used to carve a human.
I feel like maybe I've seen it one other time, but yeah, it's not been used very often.
Which you think would be a natural thing to do, especially because a lot of people have turkeys at Christmas too, and that electric knife is around.
No, like I said, I feel like maybe I've seen it one other time, but also maybe I'm just remembering the other times I've watched this movie.
It's very possible. Who knows?
While looking through the footage, Jessica finds footage of Ryan talking to Doug, the security guard who got trampled, like they know each other. And she and Bobby go to turn this information and the other information they have about people who were at the riots over to Sheriff Newland.
I'm sure he'll take care of it.
Oh, yeah. He really appreciates her help in this matter.
Oh, yeah.
At Hanover High School, Lonnie, who was the one who kind of grabbed the megaphone that kind of started the whole riot, meets up with his cheerleader girlfriend as she starts to strip on a trampoline. John Carver walks up behind Lonnie and snaps his neck, like turning it around like 180 yes. degrees. And then as his girlfriend jumps on the trampoline, starts getting stabbed through the trampoline as she's jumping on it. And that is kind of a scene straight out of the trailer, I remember.
Yes.
It's a little different in the trailer, but it's that's one where I was like, when I saw it, I was like, I remember this part.
Definitely captures the spirit.
Back at Plymouth High School, Gabby and Evan get chloroformed by John Carver. Jessica then gets a text from Gabby saying, "Hey, can you come here?" And as she goes to find her, she gets ambushed by John Carver, who chases her through the school.
I remember this was the point in our theater viewing where the people behind us said, "Look out, bitch! She's right behind you, you dumb bitch!"
There were like two moments in this, which I thought, one, there's a jump scare where John Carver like pops out with the chloroform.
Yeah,
gets me every single time. I know he's coming, and it gets me every single time. Just a really effective jump scare. Yes,
this movie has a couple really effective scares.
And then the other one is as Jessica's walking down the hall, she texts like Gabby's phone, and it dings from like inside a big like laundry tub or like big garbage tub.
Mm-hmm.
But as she's like walking down the hallway, for a split second, you actually see John Carver step out from like a darkened room behind her.
Yep.
And it was one of those like, I think I've seen this four times, and that was the first time I noticed it was on my most recent rewatch.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely catch some details going on in the background.
Jessica's able to, like, run into, like, a beautician classroom where she's able to hide for a bit and then is able to spray John Carver with, like, some hairspray in the face and is able to escape and runs for help. Sheriff Newland questions her about it, if she noticed anything. But, you know, he was wearing a mask. No. Mm-hmm. Bobby confronts Ryan about the footage that they saw. And they fight, which then Jessica basically tells them both to leave. Yulia's dad arrives and takes her so they can leave for safety in Florida.
I don't know if you noticed, but while she was reporting this to the sheriff, Jay, his eyes are really red, don't you think?
Oh, I need to go back and watch to see if it is.
That's odd, isn't it?
Weird.
It's been smoking a lot of weed or something beforehand.
I mean, that sounds like Patrick Dempsey.
Living in a trailer, being a neurosurgeon. I think that's what happens in Grey's Anatomy. I don't know. My wife watched it.
My wife does too. I literally had to go and ask her. I was like, is he McDreamy or is he McSteamy? Because I have no idea. Yeah. I just know there's two guys and he's one of them. And she's like, he's McDreamy.
Oh, you see, how I know him is he's Dr. Shepherd. And so when my wife talks to me about him, I'm like, oh, you talking about Dr. Sheep?
Scuba and Jessica go to the McCarty party, but not to party, but to get some weapons. Scuba gets a handgun.
Different kind of party.
Which we get this great scene where, like, McCarty's, like, trying to give him, like, these, like, high stopping power weapons, like, mm-hmm. like a magnum.
He's essentially explaining, you know, if you want to have to shoot somebody, you're going to want to shoot him once and put him down. And he's just like, nah.
And so like, finally, like, settles on this, like, handgun. But, like, he tries to give him, like, you know, the Dirty Harry Magnum. Yeah. Like,
hey, which, to be fair, I think that might have stopped John Carver.
And then 100% sure. He tries to give Jessica a tactical knife, but she refuses, saying she'll be with Scuba, so she'll be fine. Yulia calls Scuba as she's packing to go. While this is going on, John Carver arrives at the house. And tranquilize darts a police guard and Yulia's dad. And as Yulia's FaceTiming with Scuba and Jessica, we get this great scene where she's like Q-tipping her ears.
Oof,
and yep. Then John Carver steps up behind her and shoves two corncob holders into her ears.
Nice.
Brutal.
It's definitely one of those ones that stands out in my memory.
If you saw the trailer for this movie, not the fake trailer, yes. That's one of the ones in it. And every time I saw it in the trailer, it made me cringe. And every time I watch it now, it makes me cringe.
Her dad is a completely legitimate Russian businessman, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, nothing shady going on with
good,
that guy.
Good, good, good.
Okay. She kind of like crawls through the house as she can't hear, as like Scuba and Jessica kind of race to get to her. They arrive at the house and they find John Carver kind of holding her at knife point, but then reaches it into his pocket, pulls out a phone, which has a live stream that shows Evan and Gabby also like restrained in the big dining hall. And they're like, you know, give her to us, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And they're kind of, and I think at one point, like Scuba pulls the trigger of the gun, but the safety is still on.
Yep.
And John Carver then, cause Yulia's house is being remodeled. Mm-hmm. Forgot to mention that point. Steps on the power button for the bandsaw and or the circular saw,
yeah.
Turning it on, and then basically throws Yulia towards it and runs out the back. Yulia then falls onto it, like first putting her fingers on the saw, and then her entire chest cavity falls onto it and she just bleeds out. Jessica, Scuba, and Jessica's family talk about setting a trap at the Thanksgiving parade for John Carver with the help of the police force, and they all agree to do this. They're getting next we see them, they're getting ready to board the parade float, and McCarty approaches Jessica and gives her his dad's kind of ring that he wore in Iraq for good luck, but also it has a secret, like, tactical knife hidden inside of it. The parade gets started. We have all these great scenes of like parade going on.
Yeah.
But as our protagonists ride on the float, they keep seeing people in John Carver masks and they're getting, you know, really worried. And then a bunch of guys in John Carver masks kind of run out in front of the parade float. But it's just Mitch and some, and others protesting that Reitmart's going to be open.
Yep. Unwittingly, of course, helping John Carver.
Yeah, so everyone thinks everything's fine, and then suddenly a clown appears with smoke grenades and flashbangs, cuts off the head of the turkey mascot that was leading the parade, and in the commotion, causes the float to slam on the brakes, which causes the front of the boat that the float was shaped like a giant boat, so it's the
Mayflower.
Yep. And it's the big big point on the front of the boat.
Yep,
the crashes prow. Through the back window of the truck, and then pierces the skull of the old man sitting inside.
Oof.
As his two granddaughters are like, "Grandpa, are you okay?"
No.
The Wright family and Scuba try to get into the deputy's police escort car, but the deputy is tranked, and then they all get tranked as the clown climbs into the car and drives away.
What? He changed disguises. He can't do that.
Yeah, that's not allowed.
Against the rules.
Kathleen, the stepmom, is being prepared to be cooked alive like a turkey, but she kind of wakes up from being tranquilized and is able to, like, briefly escape. John Carver kind of chases her around the house. We get this really tense kind of, like, cat and mouse game as, like, he thinks she's one place, but she moves out from, like, behind a door behind him and kind of, you know, and I think, you know, mostly almost gets to safety until, like, she accidentally opens a refrigerator door. And the refrigerator door has the cheerleader inside who's bleeding out and but still kind of alive. So she wakes up and makes some noise, which alerts John Carver. And Kathleen's like, I'll come back for you. I'll come back for you. But because the cheerleader was bleeding, it's all over Kathleen's feet. So Kathleen kind of, you know, tries to hide, but John Carver knows where she is because, you know, her bloody footprints are all over the floor.
Yeah.
Kathleen, like, hides behind a wall, thinks that John Carver has left, and then he stabs his pitchfork through the wall. She's able to kind of fight him off, runs down the stairs to escape, makes it out the front door just for John Carver to throw the pitchfork like a spear, catching her in the back, and then pulls her back into the house.
Trident!
I threw it. I killed a man with a trident. I saw that brick. And then, like, basically ties her all up, sticks a meat thermometer in her, and then shoves her in a massive oven to cook her alive like a giant turkey.
Good, good, good.
Scene, once again, a scene straight out of the first, or out of the original trailer.
Yes. I'm glad they stayed faithful to that.
The police discover that John Carver is live streaming from a nearby park, and they go to track him down. Meanwhile, on the live stream, we get this big monologue from John Carver about people needing to be thankful and people needing to be punished for what they did a year ago and blah, blah, blah.
Which, in John Carver's defense, I mean, he's kind of right.
He is, and he'll be more right here in a little bit.
More right, Mart, you might say.
He then reveals that, like, the big, you know, the big centerpiece is that Kathleen's been cooked alive as a giant turkey. John Carver then makes Evan say what he's thankful for, but Evan kind of tries to call for help instead. So John Carver grabs the meat tenderizing hammer and bashes Evan's skull in with it.
Yes.
John Carver kind of continues to monologue and forces Thomas Wright to eat his wife's, like, leg meat. Jessica then uses that time to use her tactical ring to cut her rope loose, and Scuba is able to break free from his restraint. Carver hits Scuba in the arm with the axe and chases Jessica, who's just able to escape over the fence. Her bracelet kind of gets caught on the fence, but she's able to, like, pull it off just in time to escape John Carver's axe swing. It turns out that the whole live stream was being shown from elsewhere. So it was actually being, it was being streamed from one place, but it was actually being streamed from another place. So the police kind of go in and just find a phone recording a laptop stream.
John Carver was smart enough to use a hotspot instead of just broadcasting his location.
Jessica finds her way to the factory where kind of the parade was getting ready. And she finds the sheriff on the ground unconscious. She sees someone in a John Carver mask sneak into the factory, and when she follows, it's Bobby. But the sheriff comes in and kind of chases Bobby off, and we hear a couple gunshots being fired, and the sheriff says something about how he thinks he shot him.
Yeah.
And that Bobby was the killer.
Damn you, Bobby.
Damn it, Bobby. The police arrive and assist Jessica and the sheriff. Jessica is informed that her dad, Scuba, Gabby, are all at the hospital, and they will take her and the sheriff there. The sheriff says that he will be right back and leaves the room. And this is where I went. This is where I was so convinced I knew that the sheriff was the killer. And then I was like, oh, well, he said the thing. So clearly he's not the killer.
Yeah.
And Jessica kind of reaches down, brushes, like, some burrs that got stuck to her pant legs off, and grabs a phone, like, sees a phone sitting on the desk for evidence, and just kind of grabs it, I think, for, you know, I think it's her phone, so she grabs it to have it. Mm-hmm. And then the sheriff walks in, and he's like, come on, Jessica, I'll take you to your family. And she gets up to leave, and he's like, you know, I really want to thank you for everything you've done. And she looks down, and she notices the burrs on his pant legs. And
he was chasing her through the woods.
He was the one chasing her through the woods. And I think there's also, like, mud all over his shoes.
Dun, dun, dun.
And she kind of says something like she knows, like she kind of hints that she knows. And then the sheriff goes, "If only you'd been stuck on that fence for a second longer." The sheriff then reveals that he's been John Carver, and Jessica helped him track down all the people responsible for Amanda's death because she was pregnant with his child and she was going to leave Mitch. And Jessica says, and he's basically like threatening to kill her. He's getting ready to kill her. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Wait, you haven't let me say what I've been thankful for." And then she goes, the cell service in here. And she's been live streaming the whole conversation on her phone.
Oof.
The sheriff gets ready to attack her, but Bobby hits him in the head with a hammer. They try to escape, but the sheriff comes out yelling, "Sorry, Jessica, but this year there will be no leftovers," which was the big tagline for the movie.
I love it.
Jessica turns on a giant inflatable turkey, like with helium, like a big parade float, parade balloon, and they try to escape in Bobby's tow truck, but they get stuck, which allows the sheriff time to attach the winch to a pillar in the factory, stopping the truck from advancing. As the sheriff kind of gets closer, Jessica loads a musket, but drops all like the musket balls.
Mm-hmm.
And so loads it instead with her mom's bracelet.
Yep.
And then shoots the giant helium turkey, exploding it in flames all around the sheriff.
Which I gotta say, if I was watching this live stream, I'd be like, I don't know, I think the guy's got a point. He basically, because you guys were being stupid assholes, the love of his life and his unborn child were murdered. So I kind of see it.
And, you didn't have to be open on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's also true.
The police show up and say that there's nothing but ash and there's no way anyone could have survived an explosion like that.
Yeah, never.
And you think it's the end of the movie, but we have time for one last jump scare. As Jessica is asleep, she kind of wakes up because her closet door is open. She goes inside, turns on the light. Nothing's in there, so she kind of turns around to leave as the sheriff appears, wreathed in flames, and grabs her. And then she wakes up from her nightmare. Credits roll to The Misfits, Where Eagles Dare plays. End of movie.
End of masterpiece.
All right, Jeff, well, do you have anything else, or are you ready to dive into our categories?
I think it's time to get going.
All right, where do you want to start at?
Let's start with the Thanksgivingness of it all, Jay.
Oh, Thanksgiving spirit. How Thanksgivingy is the movie, and how Thanksgivingy are the kills?
The kills, like S-tier Thanksgiving. I mean, you got a woman literally being baked as a turkey and served at a Thanksgiving dinner.
You get a dude stabbed with a carving knife. You get a lady stabbed in the ears with corn cob holders.
I mean, you got a little bit of crossover, because I don't know why it just feels like a holiday killing implement with that axe, Jay. Every time it shows up in a Christmas or a Thanksgiving movie,
yep. It
makes you feel that festive season.
I mean, it's such an iconic weapon, but I mean, Thanksgiving has been so consumed by Christmas anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Most people just skip right from Halloween to Christmas. Nobody even cares about Thanksgiving except for when they get together and eat.
Right. Now, I've seen like memes that are literally like, me in October, and it's, and it's like Michael Myers, yeah. And then it's, me in November, and then it's, then it's like let's say it's Billy from Silent Night, Deadly Night, and then it's me on Thanksgiving, and it's John Carver,
yeah.
And then it's, me in December, and then it's Hart the Clown as Santa.
What a wonderful movie. But and the Thanksgiving theme is literally like part of the town's history. So, I mean, it's everywhere.
It's hard to think of a more Thanksgiving-y movie. Like the benefit that we kind of have with like the How Christmassy is the movie, or even I would say like the How Halloweeny is the movie, is we have tons of Halloween movies like that that are not even necessarily horror movies. We have tons of Christmas movies,
yes,
that certainly aren't horror movies. So we're able to kind of know what like a Christmas movie is supposed to be like, or what a Halloween movie is supposed to be like. You kind of look at this one and you go, well, what's a Thanksgiving movie supposed to be? And I would say, this is what a Thanksgiving movie is supposed to be like.
I mean, there are Thanksgiving movies, but they usually just revolve around, I have to get home for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And then that's it.
We're like, this is a movie about Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't think you could do a better job if you had a template, like Jay was saying, laid out for you. I think they would have fell short. This was like perfect.
The only like you know, I've seen a handful of other Thanksgiving horror movies. The only one that comes close to me is Christie. Christie is not as good as this one, but Christie is the only one where I'm like, and I think it's more just because Christie's such a fun movie. Mm. More than it is a, more than, you know, it's really a Thanksgiving movie, but that's the only one for me that even comes close. Like, it's not Thanksgiving, that's for sure. Thanksgiving's silly, dumb fun, and but I mean, it's not.
The entire plot of the movie is even tied intrinsically to Thanksgiving, because what happens right after Thanksgiving?
Black Friday.
Every time. And, you know, honestly, that is... As Black Friday has grown, it started to almost consume Thanksgiving because the sales start earlier and earlier.
All right, yeah, that's literally the whole. That's like the whole plot of this movie is the inciting incident is, well, we gotta open on Thanksgiving now. Yes,
because it's like all the other stores will be open at 9 o'clock Thanksgiving, so we have to be open. It's honestly, I can't think of anything they did wrong really in this category.
I am kind of glad. More backing away, but like on what you said, I am kind of glad that it does feel like we've slipped back from the stores opening on Thanksgiving. Like,
yes. Be closed on Thanksgiving, be closed on Christmas. It is just not necessary.
When I worked at the gas station, I always volunteered to work holidays because those were always really slow days, especially Christmas. Yeah. I could go in late and then I would just, and we would maybe, there was one day I counted, we had 20 customers my whole shift. So I would literally just like hang out, read a book, talk to the guy who was working in the kitchen. But for Thanksgiving, I'd usually work like the evening of Thanksgiving, and it would be pretty slow, but that was right about the time stores started opening on Black Friday. And then all of a sudden you would just get this like a rush of people like, and they'd like stock, they'd buy like a case of water and stuff like that. And I'm like, you can just go tomorrow, right? Like you don't have to put yourself out. You don't have to make people miserable. Like you could just go tomorrow.
Or just order online.
I mean, yeah, that too.
That's the rise of online sales really have lessened the importance of Black Friday.
How about next we do, what are you thankful for? Your favorite quotes.
All right. What are we thankful for, Jay? I know what I'm thankful for. It's one of the best. I'm sad it came so late in the movie, but sorry, Jessica. This year, there will be no leftovers.
It's such a good line. there's more good lines, but this I wound up just being like enjoying the movie so much that I forgot to like jot down every great quote that happened.
Yeah.
So I had like a couple at the beginning, and that was it. Manny the security guard, show yourself. I'm a security guard. I kill people every fucking day.
Jessica's response to that line, you're right, Sheriff. There were no leftovers as he's burning alive in the warehouse.
Sorry to bother you folks, but we are looking for an individual. Golden brown complexion, 15 pounds, no head. Sheriff Newland at the beginning of the movie.
Yep. Evan, when Jessica's like, we need to just let the police handle this. If we let the police handle it, we're all going to end up 50% off, in reference to the woman who was chopped in half at the beginning.
That was a great one. The last one I have, because like I said, I just got so wrapped up in the movie, I didn't have time to like jot down more quotes. Bobby, I thought we were going to the movies. Evan, we are. How am I going to text during the movie without a phone?
That one killed me.
I was like, yep, I can't wait for Evan to die. He's the worst.
Sheriff Newland to Jessica when she's coming forward with this information about how there are recordings of what happened on that Black Friday. He says, be careful who you trust, because this is a matter of life and death, which I find particularly funny coming from him.
There are so many lines. What I love is there are so many lines that the sheriff has that are...
Hints,
but like it's not, you know, it's not like an ominous line. Yep. It's more he's telling you what he's actually doing, but you know, but it's the way, but you know, but it's it can also just be he's like saying thank you for helping me, but he's also saying thank you for telling me who all these people are. Yep. Like
one of his best lines that also gives you a big hint. Some guys are throwing their masks away in the trash, and he fishes one out of the top, and he's like, show some enthusiasm. Thanksgiving is an institution around here. because obviously they're in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Oh, real fast. I forgot to mention. I can't believe I forgot to mention this. I loved that little bit of foreshadowing with the when he goes to bake Kathleen, where he goes to cook her like the turkey, mm-hmm. takes his mask off and puts it on top of the oven. So I think he can like set the thermometer. And when he puts it back on, the side is melted.
Yep.
And I know you shouted that out on the stocking stuffer episode, but I love that kind of foreshadowing, and I assume that's what the mask will maybe look like in the next movie.
I'm guessing yes, it's going to be pretty messed up. The sheriff as John Carver, of course. Everybody recoils when he unveils the turkey, and he says, "Is that any way to thank Kathleen? She's been cooking all day."
I loved that line.
Oh, there's just so many great ones in this. McCarty, obviously, gun expert that he is. When she pulls out the Thanksgiving gun there, he screams, "Blunderbuss!" In the most excited voice.
Which was great. And there's like, I think there's a couple more lines where they're like, have you ever shot a gun before? And Jessica's like, well, I shot a musket one time for the Thanksgiving parade.
Yep. Sheriff Newland again as John Carver. When I told your stepmother she would make an excellent dinner, that was not a lie.
So many good lines.
Oh, here's the exchange between McCarty and Scuba. This is my last one I have noted down here. 44 Magnum, classic. Plus you get bonus comments. You get a bonus if you make comments in Dirty Harry style when you blast him. And Scuba says, McCarty, do you have any human-sized guns? Maybe.
And the very next moment he goes to his headboard and like moves the thing, and there's this giant like semi-automatic weapon, and then there's a little handgun next to it, and he gives him the handgun.
Oh, the last one, I actually have one more. John Carver, no one appreciates subtlety anymore. To go viral, you really need to hit people over the head before he lays into Evan with the hammer.
Bashes Evan's head in there with the hammer. And Evan's the one who made the YouTube videos that kind of started started the whole thing. So indeed. It's the virality thing coming back. Yes,
like and subscribe, fam. Watch my head get caved in with a hammer. But yes, so many great lines in this movie. And so much great foreshadowing from the sheriff when you go back and rewatch it.
Oh, yeah. No, it really is. It really is fantastic. If listeners, if you've not seen this movie yet, it is...
You owe it to yourself.
You owe it to yourself. And just pay attention to, like, every line the sheriff says. Because, like, a lot of them are just like, that could go both ways. Like... Mm-hmm.
It's just rewatching it after you know what happens. It's just... It's even better, I think, watching it, knowing who it is. As you see how they just continually, they just happen to run into the sheriff everywhere they go, and they're so helpful to him, letting them know where they're going to stay and what their plans are. It's crazy how he keeps finding him.
Well, Jeff, it's time to get out some construction paper and some scissors. We're going to make some hand turkeys.
Are we?
Sets, costumes, etc.
Excellent, I would say, in both categories, especially the John Carver house really stands out to me. Great set. The Thanksgiving dinner scene with everybody arrayed around that huge table. Amazing.
No, that is such an awesome scene. I think in this one movie, John Carver became an iconic, slasher villain. Like, yes. There are, you know, you can buy John Carver action figures and shit like that for a movie that's a year old. And there are, you know, NECA, you know, and NECA's made like all this John Carver stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, it took them until last year to make a Krampus action figure, maybe earlier this year. And it's like, yep. That movie's been out since 2015.
No, he really is. I mean, Eli Roth really knows what he's doing when it comes to slashers. He made a perfect look, perfect weapon. I mean, he's got the great one-liners, like a Ghostface type quip while he's killing people. And a great thematic kills too. He's not stuck with just his one weapon. He uses all kinds of interesting things to kill people.
But a lot of them are all Thanksgiving kind of themed.
It's just, but yeah, his costume, you instantly recognize anytime he steps out of the shadows or anything. It's like, boom, there he is. Which is what's missing from a lot, I think, of movies that try to imitate famous slashers. They just don't get the look right.
Right.
But this one really does.
What I love too, that like they establish, they do the one thing that, you know, I think you and I have kind of like joked about for Halloween, you know, was a white William Shatner, was a white painted William Shatner mask, like a very popular costume in Haddonfield or in this universe, because Michael Myers finds one, but literally that was the only one that existed until this movie was made, where in this universe, everyone has a John Carver mask, or everyone in Plymouth does, because
they're all handed out for free
because John Carver was the first pilgrim. Yeah. Like,
which answered a question that I have often asked about Scream. It's like, okay, at a certain point, wouldn't you start keeping track of who's buying these ghost face masks? Just be like, maybe they go on like a little registry so you can look them up later on. Seems like a disturbing amount of people buy these masks and murder people.
Well, and to that point, like the ghost face mask existed before Scream existed. Mm-hmm. So like you at least had the idea that that was a thing. There, you know, no one was going out and buying these William Shatner fucking masks.
No, I was, Jay.
Except for that one guy but his hair is painted like blonde instead of brown, and then he immediately gets run over by a truck.
I don't know. I mean, it's such a great look, because when you think about it, it's like you basically have two options for Thanksgiving killer. You can have a pilgrim or you can have a turkey. I'm glad they went with pilgrim and not turkey.
I am too. Eli Roth, the one of the things I will say about him, master of gore.
Yes.
And this movie is gory. Some of the gore is brutal and cringy, and he did what he does best, but then also turned around and just made a slasher movie that is both unique but also incredibly referential to every other slasher movie out there.
Yes, you can see its DNA written all over the movie, but it makes it its own thing. And does it really well.
Even like you know, Halloween references throughout, like I pointed out. I think there's even a Black Christmas reference. I think the cheerleader shoved in the fridge.
Yep.
She's wrapped in like a big plastic bag like Claire is in the attic.
Yep. And I'm just going to say it. I know this might piss some people off, but this has more disturbing kills to me than Terrifier 3.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some things I legitimately cringe at in this. I was just laughing my way through Terrifier 3.
No, I actually had that same thought while watching this. I'm like, man, some of this shit's tough to watch. And I'm like, yet Terrifier is supposed to be the movie that is like the grossest thing people have seen.
Yeah. Tell me that when you scrape the rest of my face off that freezer door.
Right. Well, Jeff, let's do some dry turkey and some moist turkey. One thing you want to fix and one thing you want to praise.
Good. Good. I like that.
I really worked hard to come up with all of these.
Let's see. I suppose we should start with our dry turkey first.
Yeah.
My one dry turkey, I think, was I wish they had given the sheriff a little more screen time. I liked he was a good character, and having all going back and rewatching it after you know what happens, I think having him around a little bit more could have made it so they could have dropped some more like subtle hints into it that would have made you go, ah, at the end of the movie. Whereas he appears often enough, I think, but I would have liked a little bit more Patrick Dempsey, I think.
No, I think that's a good shout. And I mean, he's kind of like a weird, like in between, he's both the sheriff, but he's also kind of the Dr. Loomis.
Yeah.
Like, which he kind of like occupies both those.
Man of many talents, yeah, apparently.
But he needs to be in there more. I agree with you on that. For me, it's what took so long for this movie to get made.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Grindhouse was in like the late 2000, I think 2008 maybe.
Yes.
And this came out in 2023. Like,
yeah, whereas the other follow-ups came out shortly afterwards, like within a couple of years, I think.
I'd pretty much given up hope that this would even happen. Yeah. And I remember how excited I was and other people were when it got announced that, like, oh no, this is actually happening. That first trailer dropped, people were, you know, people who loved that trailer were so excited. But it was just kind of one of those where it's like, you know, patience, you know, the patience paid off and it was well worth it, but it's like, man, we could have had five of these fucking movies by now. Like, true.
Well, I mean, Machete Kills in Space. People have kind of given up hope on that because The sequel to the first one was in 2013, I think. So it's been about 11 years. But it's like, yeah, don't give up hope because Thanksgiving was made way, way longer after the original than that.
But now we're getting Thanksgiving 2 supposedly next year.
Like, oh, it's you know why? It's because it's with such a big hit. They have to capitalize on it.
Yeah, got to throw that money at them now.
They would have probably liked to have it out this Thanksgiving, but it probably just wasn't possible with people's schedules.
Well, moist turkey, the thing you want to praise.
It was hard to narrow it down to just one thing because this movie does so much well.
I agree.
But at the end, I settled on the writing, which was kind of a surprise for me in a movie with such great kills and such a great villain and great performances. But this script did an excellent job of making me not only sympathize with the murderer, but also actively root to see most of the people that are in danger killed. And I think for a movie to walk that fine line of you wanting most of the main characters dead, but still be an interesting and entertaining movie is an achievement, and I want to salute them for that.
No, I've talked to like a handful of people who've all kind of like who've all said more or less they're like, man, I hate all the protagonists in that movie. Like, I could not wait for them to die, and I'm like, I think that was on purpose. Yeah. Like,
no, it's just it was great. And so much of the dialogue is great. I mean, everything Patrick Dempsey says is either memorable or hilarious. And so many, I mean, we pointed out, I just went down like 10 quotes we pulled, and that was like half of what I could have pulled probably of memorable lines from the movie. And it's just the way that people talk to each other too. It doesn't suffer from the, oh my gosh, so random Marvel movie kind of dialogue that I think has taken over a lot of horror movies.
Felt very kind of real, the dialogue.
It felt much more authentic than that.
my thing I want to praise is that I was not an Eli Roth fan prior to this movie. I'd seen Cabin Fever, and you know, kind of enjoyed it, but it wasn't my favorite movie. I saw Hostel. And, you know, while I thought the gore was great, you know, did not care for that at all. And I was like, man, like, Eli Roth's kind of a one-trick pony, like, just a very gory dude. You know, kind of want to see Green Inferno, but I went like, well, I'm not a big Eli Roth fan. Why would I go see Green Inferno? Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, I was very excited by the idea of Thanksgiving. And I left this movie going, well, goddamn, like, Eli Roth's amazing. Like he actually did it. He squared the circle of both making it like an incredibly fun slasher movie that is a love letter to all the slasher movies, but also kept all of that Eli Roth gore in there as well. And I loved it. Like,
I can't say enough good about this movie, which is really rare on this podcast that there's a movie we just can't stop saying good things about.
We've had a lot of that lately, which makes me think the wheel's going to give us something bad here at some point.
We're going to have something bad.
We're going to get punished real bad here soon.
I mean, even the stuff we have watched recently, I mean, like, I like It's a Wonderful Knife, but this I love.
Right. No, I agree. It's obvious. Final rating, Jeff. What's your
seasonally scary for me?
Yeah, I put down stuffingly scary, but I couldn't think of two other ones. Oh,
here, I got it. Seasonedly scary.
Oh, good one.
Well seasoned food at Thanksgiving, Jay. But yeah, I mean, we already said you need to watch it, especially now that it's in season. I mean, you could really watch this anytime from like after Halloween to right before Christmas, and I think you'd have a good time. But if you watch it the week of Thanksgiving, when you're about to go in and eat that turkey, I think it'll have an extra impact on you. There's so many good things about it. I mean, after you watch it, you're going to love it, and you're going to want to buy a copy of it. So you might as well just buy one.
I'm right there with you. It's seasoned scary. We'll have to figure out the other two next year. But seasoned scary 100%. It is, it's literally when it came out on DVD, when it came out on Blu-ray, like I walked into like Walmart and I went, oh, I think Thanksgiving came out today. My wife had not gotten a chance to see it and literally sat down and watched it that night. And other than like her getting the big killer reveal spoiled for her, she loved it. She thought it was great. Like, most of the people I've talked to genuinely love this movie. It's so well made. You know, like I said, I think it's easily Eli Roth's best movie. And it's just a loving homage to what slasher movies should be. And honestly, like, it's kind of a better Scream movie than a lot of the Scream movies lately.
It really is, yeah. It's a better Halloween movie than a lot of the Halloween movies, too.
Right, no, it's wild. Like, this movie is just fantastic start to finish. This is... This is kind of a gold. Certainly, this is a gold standard if anyone else tries to make a Thanksgiving horror movie. But also, like, this is kind of a gold standard for modern slashers. I would say this and the Terrifier movies are kind of what most modern slashers are going to get judged against now.
Yes, I would say that is accurate, and I think it almost gives me like a pang of regret that Eli Roth hasn't spent more of his career making slasher movies.
So hopefully he will now. Yeah, like,
hopefully he just becomes a horror guy from here on out, just slasher after slasher.
Because no interest. We got a snoring dog in here. Eli Roth, you can keep doing your extremely gory shit as long as it's a fun slasher movie.
Yeah,
I'll go see it. Like, I'm just like, I have no interest in some of the weirder stuff you do. Which, unfortunately, there's going to be a hostile TV series. So I'm like, we're going to have a little...
Hey, there's some stuff out there for everybody. If you're like a sick torture porn weirdo that wants to see more hostile, you're going to get some.
Yeah, fair enough. No, that's a good point, Jeff. You're right. But Jeff, did you start to think that maybe this was all a tryptophan nap and it was just a dream? Maybe we're wrong.
You know, Jay, I think I ate that the new sandwich, the Gobbler from Arby's, and I think I fell into a coma. And I woke up in a world where apparently Thanksgiving is a bad movie.
One star, not a horror film. Who in the hell is reviewing this film? The acting is really terrible. School trying to be school kids. Where do you find these actors from? From start to finish, it is rubbish. Oh, let's just film everyone in a supermarket killing each other, and let's bang a trolley into someone's head. So this is a British person.
British guy.
Mm-hmm. And take off her skin and hair on her head. What a joke this film is. I'm so glad I didn't waste my money on this rubbish, and how it even made it to cinema is beyond belief. Should have been banned. Makes me wonder if some of the reviews are genuine. 3! They can't have watched what I did. The slasher is not even acting, just trying to, basically. This film is just a joke. There's no storyline, just a slasher that fancies coming to Plymouth and having fun. 59 people found that helpful.
Did you actually watch? Because that doesn't sound like you actually watched.
It does not sound like they absolutely would.
And also, apparently they're not getting the whole Black Friday thing. Apparently that must be an American thing.
It must be. They must have missed it. Like, they don't have Thanksgiving. So.
I'm sorry, Governor, that they didn't bang the trolley in that way that you found was rubbish. Well, I guess I'll just have to bugger off back to my own country, you know, where we make good movies.
like Mother Krampus and Nutcracker Massacre, what?
Yeah. Yes, first of all, any British person lecturing Americans about horror movies, you need to wake up and look at what you're making over there. Second of all, you must not have watched it. I mean, maybe he turned it off because he was too grossed out by it. I don't know. But you can't have watched it if John Carver just showed up and killed people for no reason. No, he didn't.
There's literally a whole plot.
The entire plot is about his reason for doing this. All right, well, Jay, you found a good one. But I think I've found an ultimate review. 1 star. Awful, awful film. I thought Exorcist Believer was the worst flick I saw this year.
I mean, it probably was.
But Thanksgiving comes in before the end of the year to beat it out. I have only ever done 1 Google review, but I feel a special obligation to warn my fellow citizens about this poos, I'm assuming he meant peace, of garbage.
Classic poos of garbage.
All of the main characters are pointless, contrived, and there's no reason to care about any of them. I suspect this story was perhaps written by Roth when he was in middle school, and he may have found it cleaning out his childhood bedroom at his parents' house during a rough stretch of writer's rights block. The big reveal of the killer and their motivation at the end of the movie is completely tacked. It's like Roth became so entrenched with the passable gore sequences and forgot all about who was the killer was at the end then. That was English there, Jay. I liked Cabin Fever and Hostel, and thought he was fairly underrated, but now I'm not so sure. I think DGA and WGA should have some sort of suspension system for when a writer-director creates something so terrible. He should be put on a professional growth LAN and have Hoss script scrutinized by a committee before he gets the chance to make his next film. 154 people found this helpful.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So I don't know if you managed to stay awake through all that gibberish, Jay, but essentially he does not like the movie.
And
he also can't spell.
He also cannot spell. This is my last one. 1 out of 10. I'd give it 0 if I could.
Oh, boy.
Another one of those.
Oh, boy. You're so original.
The only slightly amusing part was the revelation of the killer. The acting was terrible, IMO. After Yulia was killed, just delivered the most monotonic speech, as if she is reading something from a newspaper. I think it's supposed to be that she's kind of in shock.
Yeah.
She's watched a ton of her friends get killed.
No, that can't be it, Jay.
At the carnival, the guy's head was destroyed, and the little girls were crying, "Wake up, Grandpa!" Really? Wake up, Grandpa? It's supposed to be funny, dude.
And they're also got kids, you know?
The characters were mostly annoying to me. I have no idea how it has a 6.8 rating at the moment. I started watching because it had a relatively good score, but I regret the time I spent on it. If the only thing you want to see from a slasher movie is its gruesome murders and don't care about the other aspects, then I guess this is the movie to watch. Except it's a great movie. But sure, whatever you say, dude.
1 star. Spoiler, this movie starts off stupid. Enough said about that. The whole premise of this man's murder escapade is because the love of his life died. The reason she died was by her own doing. She came up to the store knowing what was going on, parentheses, Black Friday, to bring some pasta or something. It didn't even look like Thanksgiving food. I believe it was stuffing.
Sure. I think it was supposed to be the Thanksgiving food because Mitch had to leave, yes, so he couldn't eat it. So it was turkey and cranberry sauce and stuffing.
Yeah. Then she insisted that the security guard open the door. Yeah, because she was getting crowd crushed by all the people trying to get inside. And he fumbled with his keys like an idiot, like he's never opened a door before. It's almost like he's scared. I don't know, crazy.
Of all these people trying to crush their way into a store, yeah.
Then when the door begins to crack, instead of him running out of the way, he just stands there like an idiot and dies. Then she gets knocked down, and instead of getting up and getting out of the way while she's being trampled by a huge crowd of people, she slithers on the ground like an idiot with a dumb look on her face until she's killed by a damn buggy. I think we got another Brit here.
Yeah, sounds like it.
She got herself killed, which makes the premise of this man running around killing everyone in an effort to avenge her death just stupid. 62 people found this helpful.
Hates the movie because of the opening scene, which, once again, does not have a understanding of Black Friday.
And which, like, she did not... Okay, yeah, she came to the store to give her husband a Thanksgiving dinner because he had to leave. How does that make her stupid? And it's like, you've never seen people get trampled before? Oh, why don't they just get up and get out of the way?
Well, if he's a British person, he's seen it at the football multiple times.
Yep. All right, Jay. Well, you know... maybe that's just all. Oh, wait, there's another one. 1 star. Saw the hyped up reviews for this film and thought to give it a go. I think we might have another British person here. Well, firstly, what a massive disappointment and a waste of time. The screenplay, writing, and dialogue is absolutely atrocious. No character building, nor development, nor... Somebody went to college.
Nick and Nora's infinite development.
So there's no emotional factor or sentiment when a person dies. Each kill is more like a snippet than a full scene. It's literally just another under-basic slasher with an ending so cliche. The director clearly paints a picture and thinks he will be successful in making a second sequel. Well, no. Just stop here.
A second sequel, which would be a third movie.
Yes.
But also, what does under basic mean?
Apparently, it's not good enough to be basic. It's worse than basic. Can't believe these 5-star reviews. The movie is basically I Know What You Did Last Summer with really bad acting. But I don't understand because it's a great cast. And also, it's not it's not that at all. But whatever. Again, I don't think people have seen some of these movies. They keep referencing Jay.
You know, I always had when I was growing up, I hadn't gotten to see, you know, and I hadn't gotten to see like Scream or I Know What You Did Last Summer. I had a friend who's like, yeah, Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer, they're basically the same movie. And so I wonder if this guy maybe had the same friend as I did. And he's like, yeah, well, I saw Scream. I know what you did last summer.
Don't get me started on these fake gore scenes. They're terrible looking. Makes it look like a low budget project. Storyline bad. Spoiler alert, they need some biology classes. Stepping on an arm wouldn't break it. I've seen things break an arm you wouldn't think would break an arm. Like my brother tripped and hit his arm on the steps at the movie theater and broke his arm. So I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, it absolutely would.
I wish I had the option to give it 0 stars. Simply, with no better words, I'd like the Men in Black my memory of this entire film. Ah, okay. If I could see the legs of a cameraman in a goddamn window, then there's something terribly wrong with the production. Didn't notice that, but okay.
Okay, yeah. All right, it sounds like you're looking for things to nitpick.
This is truly and honest to God the single worst hour and 45 minutes of my life. Well, you must have had a pretty good life then. And I don't wish my worst enemy to have to sit through this thing that's called a, quotes, movie. If the director somehow gets funding to make another movie in high entire career, I will devote my entire life to getting it stripped from any sort of media platform. This film is a disgrace to humankind.
I got some bad news. You better start getting to work, because the movie's absolutely getting a sequel.
42 people found this helpful. And that's where we're going to end, Jay.
I wish I could Men in Black all those reviews out of my mind.
Well, nope. Unfortunately, we'll have to carry them with us forever.
Well, Jeff, we finished our Thanksgiving. We sent everybody home. And maybe we should start sending out some thank you cards. I mean, John Carver's been our only real Thanksgiving character. Yeah. So right now he's top and bottom. He's the only person on our Thanksgiving list.
Oh, we'll have some more.
We will.
But honestly, I think it's going to be pretty hard to dethrone him.
Yeah, unless, you know, even if we wanted to make, the only thing that would dethrone him right now, it would be Black Friday, which I think we count as more of a Christmas movie because there's more Christmas trappings in Black Friday. But I mean, yeah, that he wouldn't survive that alien apocalypse, but otherwise.
I don't know. He might be able to fight his way through quite a few of those aliens.
True, he might. I don't know that he'd be able to kill all the aliens, but he...
he might survive.
Well, Jeff, it's time to have our own Thanksgiving feast, and it's something we like to call...
Carpet Day!
Huh? No!
Is this some sort of Thanksgiving feast?
Sorry, I had to microwave up some popcorn. This is absolutely a Thanksgiving feast.
Oh, boy.
As listeners might remember, I'm a subscriber to the Dinosaur Dracula monthly fun pack. And every year, Dinosaur Dracula recreates the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special dinner. So we've got jelly beans, pretzel sticks, popcorn, and to replace the strawberry sundaes or the strawberry ice cream, we've got strawberry Pockies.
Ah, here we go.
So I had to microwave some popcorn.
The corn.
So there's some freshly popped Orville Redenbacher.
Ah. The good stuff.
Grab a here. You can have the other half of those jelly beans.
I'm glad we could share this Thanksgiving feast together, Jay. Assorted flavors, my favorite.
Yep. And popped them all in the mouth at the same time, and it wasn't gross like those Halloween ones.
Oof.
Trying to figure out how to open these Bachmann pretzel sticks.
Can't say I've ever tried that brand.
I don't think I have either. I assume it's a New York thing.
Maybe we should ask Spencer. Spencer, are Bachmann pretzel sticks a New York thing?
Send an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. They taste like pretzels.
Mm-hmm. Good pretzels, but pretzels. Here's where Dinosaur Dracula cheaped out instead of shipping some dry ice and strawberry ice cream in every package.
I think it's going to be better than last year. Yeah, last year was like strawberry milkshake Hershey bars.
Mm-hmm.
I just was not a fan of that.
Yeah.
Hershey chocolate, I just don't think is very good, but like, these Pockies already smell amazing.
Every once in a great while, I like some Hershey's chocolate, but not as a regular thing.
The only yearly Hershey's thing I like are the Hershey's Candy Cane Kisses or whatever. Those are solid.
The Bells, the Peppermint Bells. Love those.
Delicious strawberry Pocky.
Pockies always remind me of eating the stick out of a corn dog.
they're like tiny. Yeah, I like it's like the stick of a corn dog, but like also kind of looks like a miniature like or shrunk down corn dog, but not like lengthwise, just like girthwise. delicious all around. Great job, yes. Dinosaur Dracula.
I agree. I feel the spirit of Thanksgiving in my heart.
An excellent Thanksgiving feast. Might have to make this a tradition, whether it's the Dinosaur Dracula one or we make our own. We might have to do our own Thanksgiving feast every year for our Thanksgiving episode.
I think we should. No, Jay, I don't want to eat more food. It's something I've never said.
Well, besides all that, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. we are at Horror for Holidays. That's Horror, the number 4, Holidays, all the places.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell, which is the real subscribe button. Leave us comments. Be like, Jeff and Jay fat, Thanksgiving feast lame. Quit eating the microphone.
The movie's terrible.
Yep, you guys are on crack. We can't understand how you like this.
All those reviews, they're right, and you guys are actually wrong.
And, of course, leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice. We got Apple, we got Spotify, all the places. 5-star reviews only, though, even if you got something bad to say. Those are the only ones we read.
Yeah, we only read 5-star reviews, so if you got something bad to say, 5-star review. And also subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. And most importantly, tell a friend. I think that's the best way to spread word about a podcast. It means more coming from someone you trust than it does just reading a random review online.
And check out the other shows on the Christmas podcast network we're on. Totally Rad Christmas is a show we were on. You could go listen to our episode about Deadly Games. Give some of his other episodes a listen.
Merry Mixtape is another one, I think. There's a whole bunch. They've got all sorts of stuff. There's even one called Christmas Creeps that's kind of similar to what we do, but I think different.
Legally distinct. Christmas Creeps.
But no, everyone involved with that's great. Weird Christmas is one of the ones I really like on there. Yeah. Just a yearly thing, but a lot of those shows are really kind of rounding into form right now. So definitely worth checking out just the Christmas Podcast Network in general. And I don't know, somehow tell them Jeff and Jay sent you.
Yeah.
Like the sound of two large fat guys falling off the top of the Empire State Building, and when they pulled their bodies from the wreckage, they looked like this. Anyway, we'll see you again next week with another stocking stuffer. This time, my wife's picking the movie. Will it be Hot Frosty? Hard to say.
It probably will.
It's either going to be that one or the Vince Vaughn, Justin Long, dark comedy Christmas movie.
Ah, okay.
So it's going to be one of those. So we'll see you next week to talk about that. And then in 2 weeks, we're gonna run into vampires.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, I'm so ready for Silent Bite.
The Silent Bite. The Simon Phillips.
Oh, Simon. Oi, it's me, Simon Phillips, and I'm back for Silent Bite.
Oi, this movie was garbage. Somebody got run over with the trolley.
What?